A Status Report on Health Apps by Deborah Gage in the Wall Street Journal. The newest wearable monitors track heart health, monitor glucose levels, and measure blood pressure. But which ones actually do what they say? The explosion in smart devices, phones, watches, fitness gadgets, and the like has unleashed a wave of apps designed to manage chronic illnesses, detect behavioral diseases, and manage pain. Most recently, Apple announced that apps due later this year will allow its Series 4 watches to perform electrocardiogram readings, or ECGs, and notify users of irregular heart rhythms. The problem for consumers is knowing which apps, if any, actually work. The Food and Drug Administration cleared the ECG app and irregular rhythm notification features on the Apple Watch, but noted that the apps aren't intended to replace traditional diagnosis methods. The agency said the ECG data displayed on the Apple Watch is for informational purposes only and isn't intended to be interpreted by the user without consulting a healthcare professional. Most apps on the market lack approval from the FDA, which hasn't been able to keep up with the health apps being released, raising concerns that some apps could expose consumers to harm. The FDA last September started working with Apple and 8 other tech and medical device companies, including Fitbit, Samsung, and Verily Life Sciences, a subsidiary of Google parent Alphabet, to streamline approval of mobile medical apps. In the meantime, here is a status check on some of the areas where health monitoring tools might make the most difference. Measuring heart health. Smartphones and watches can collect data on the heart continuously, which promises to improve detection and treatment of heart disease. For instance, devices that track heartbeat data can help doctors identify arterial fibrillation, a leading cause of heart failure and strokes. With AFib, the upper two chambers of the heart beat erratically and at dangerously high speeds. Since symptoms come and go, it can be hard to detect, but watches worn for long periods have a chance of spotting it outside of a doctor's office. An ECG, the standard method of detecting AFib, requires placing 12 electrodes on a patient's body. The Apple Watch Series 4 will have electrodes built into the watch's digital crown, which users touch for 30 seconds after operating the app to get an ECG reading, Apple says. Another device, the CardioBand watch band, also offers ECG capabilities and was cleared by the FDA in November. It was most effective in detecting AFib when physicians looked at the results rather than relying solely on the watch's algorithms, according to a study by the Cleveland Clinic. The device's instructions tell wearers to place their thumb over a spot on the watch band embedded with an electrocardiogram sensor, which records their heart rhythm. But in the Cleveland Clinic study, about 35% of the recordings couldn't be read by the watch's algorithms, possibly because people didn't press their thumbs down for the required 30 seconds. Electrophysiologists, however, looking at some data, were able to accurately identify people with AFib 100% of the time and people without AFib 80% of the time. The electrophysiologist also beat the algorithm's performance on recordings that it could read, correctly identifying people with AFib 99% of the time compared with the algorithm's 93%. It's a reminder for all of us in dealing with digital health that the patient is an active component of the equation and is part of the end results and how good these recordings are, says Khaldun Terakji, an electrophysiologist who led the study. Dr. Terakji says with the smartphone-based electrocardiogram monitors, the clinic can assess recordings of the patient's heart rhythms no matter where they are. Doctors can also use the monitors to diagnose patients with intermittent episodes of AFib, which are hard to catch and follow up on patients who have had ablations, a procedure that removes diseased tissue from the heart to try to stop AFib symptoms. Glucose monitor. For more than 50 years, researchers have looked for ways to monitor glucose that don't require people to prick their fingers and draw blood. Bodily fluids, including urine, sweat, saliva, ocular fluids like tears, and interstitial fluids, which bathe cells, also contain glucose and are easier to get to than blood, but they can be challenging to work with. Several companies are investigating minimally invasive or non-invasive glucose monitors, and a few have been approved by the FDA. But developing systems that don't penetrate the skin has been challenging. A glucose monitor from Dexcom Incorporated that the FDA authorized for marketing in March uses a sensor about the width of a human hair that sits just under the skin and detects glucose in the interstitial fluid. It generates an electrochemical signal that's read by a processor and converted into data that's transmitted to a Dexcom receiver or a smartphone or watch. In 2016, a previous generation of monitors was recalled by the FDA because the receiver's alarm didn't sound when the glucose reading was high or low. But the company has since developed new technology, says CEO Kevin Sayer. The new monitor uses some finger pricking, says Mr. Sayer, because we've not seen anything sitting outside the body that delivers the accuracy that patients require. Tracking blood pressure. Researchers have long tried to improve the traditional arm cuff to measure high blood pressure, which causes heart attacks and strokes. By 2020, 3 billion people will have smartphones, and a lot of people in this world have high blood pressure and don't know it, says Ramakrishna Mukamala, professor of electrical and computer engineering at Michigan State University. Recently, a group he led created a way to take blood pressure with a phone using the same principle as the blood pressure cuff, which varies pressure on the arm. In a study published in March, the group used a modified smartphone case with two sensors, one that measured blood volume and one that measured applied pressure. Users steadily pressed their fingertips against the case to get a reading. The data was transmitted via Bluetooth to an app, which calculated blood pressure and displayed it. In September, however, a proof-of-concept study done by Dr. Mukamala and another set of authors showed that the same finger-pressing method can be applied to optical and force sensors that are already built into some phones. One sensor for taking selfies and one for displaying a 3D touch feature. The group has developed an iPhone app that guides fingertip placement and calculates blood pressure. Comparing the results against a traditional blood pressure cuff, the app was less accurate than the arm cuff. But Dr. Mukamala says it was comparable to a finger cuff, a device that's been cleared by the FDA for measuring arm blood pressure, but used primarily so far in research. Dr. Mukamala hopes to market the phone technology, though he says it needs more work before it can be approved.